ready to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Hey! Hello! Welcome to the Lesbian Lounge on MyLesbianRadio.com. How's everybody doing? Man, it has been an absolutely incredible week, hasn't it? No, it hasn't. I just thought I would get you and hold you by that remark, but it really hasn't been a big deal of a week, I don't think. Do you? My house is back to normal. That's a pretty big deal thing. After our plumbing issues, my house is back to normal. That was rough. I won't lie to you. That was rough. But everything has calmed down. All the toilets are working. All the showers and sinks are working. No big ordeal. The only thing left to do is just get the ceiling repainted where some of the water spots are. But they're not moldy and they're not gross. They're dry and they're fading. But we definitely need to take care of that. But it's okay because we were ready to do some painting anyway, so that'll be the next project. So, hello. I got a really cool kind of surprise for you guys. I've been talking about getting in touch with Kristen Baker from Tello Films, and it's finally happened. We finally connected. I'm going to play that for you in a little bit. We had a great conversation. It's kind of like, you know, I put all this pressure on myself because I want to ask the questions that I think you guys want the answers to. Being big Tello fans. So I felt like I had a lot of pressure to do the right thing and say the right thing. So I hope that it went well. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's a good time. And she's so lovely with her time. There was no limits or anything. So it was a nice like half an hour conversation. So thank you to Kristen Baker. We'll be playing that in a little bit. I don't know. It was Valentine's. Did anybody feel like it was Valentine's? Because there was a lot of romantic bullshit on Facebook. Oh my God. People posting their flowers and their candy and their presents and whatever. Like we're not, I don't know. I think, oddly enough, as I get older, it's a little more important to verbalize how you feel every once in a while. Whereas when I was younger, I didn't really care. So I think that, so I think I'm a little further along in that process, whereas Gemma is still where I was about 10 years ago. So she's just like, you know, yeah, whatever. But anyways, we kind of like made a plan that we were going to stay in. We were going to rent something that we both wanted to see. And we were going to have like a pizza and popcorn night. And that was our Valentine's. And I can't argue with that. That's a good time. I don't want to be out in the crowds. I don't want to have to worry about booking a restaurant and making a reservation and getting dressed up and getting there. It's very different here. It's just not as easy as just getting in your car and going someplace. Those days are long gone, man. One of the first things I realized when I moved here is that that's not how it goes. Any evening outside of your home, you are going to have to put a little bit of effort into. Which means you're going to have to plan your route, plan your time accordingly. So if you have a reservation, book your place. So say you book someplace at 7, plan on leaving your house at 5. Get your tickets online for your train or figure out what time you need to catch that tube. And then, you know, figure out when you get to your stop, where you go from there. Like, are you walking to your venue? Are you taking a cab to your venue? So it's just not as easy as picking up your car keys and, you know, running into town. It's just not that easy. So there's a lot of planning involved and there's a lot of effort involved. And just didn't want to deal with it for Valentine's. Like, I would do that for a birthday and I would do that for, you know, like a personal event, but not Valentine's. So pizza and popcorn it was. And we rented Box Trolls, which was very cute. But I'm an adult and I had a little bit of a difficult time getting the flow of the movie. Like, I understand it was for kids, but like, I really had a difficult time like understanding where we were going with it, you know? So, good luck if you have kids explaining that one. I mean, it was really like the animation was great. The storyline was cute once you figured it out, like once you got it, So, you know, but overall, I really liked it. Thought it was adorable. And I recommend it. I recommend it. So that was a good evening. And then over the weekend, we just did a little bit of errands kind of thing. Bought the cats a brand new scratching post kind of thing. It's got a post on it. It's got like a little bridge on it that's good for their nails scratching. And then it's got like a little padded top on it. Very cute. And it was like a, you know, those things normally are like $50. This one I scored for about 20, so I was super excited. I was super excited. The cats really didn't give a shit about it. Ollie was all over it. Bruce is still a little unsure of it. And that's usually the way it goes. So that was the weekend. It was good. And then, I got a book. I bought a book. I don't normally do this. I don't know if you guys know me. I'm a magazine article reader, and I'm like an online kind of reader. And if it's a book, then I'm going to try and get the audio book. But I didn't. I bought a book because you guys hear me talking about Philly Debbie, my friend that I grew up with in Florida. She was from Philadelphia, and her family moved to Florida about 2 years or so before I did. And it was in the early 80s. So, and we've been friends ever since. So, like I told you about how she started Bianca's Kids. And, you know, it's really interesting how people deal with their grief in a tragedy. And, Debbie has turned it around. Like, she's turned it around. And I, you know, I couldn't be more proud because, it was definitely something to worry about. Like, what happened was, Debbie has, a big family. She's got a brother, John, she's got a sister, Kathy, a sister, Linda, and a sister, Stephanie. And, her sister, Linda, has, 3 kids, and her middle child, Bianca, was, 21, and she was living with her dad up in New Jersey. She was working at a daycare center because she loved working with children, and she was so good at it. She just had a knack for working with kids, and it was what inspired her, and it was her passion, and she was amazing at it. Even the people at the daycare center were like, if there was a problem kid or a kid that had separation anxiety when their parents left, that was the kid that Bianca would manage for the day because she just had a way of keeping them calm. So everybody, you know, we're really proud of her, and she was 21, she was walking to work, and she got hit by a car, and she was killed, and it devastated the family. And, you know, it was one of those things where you're just so worried, like, will they be able to come back from something like this? So it's just so horrible. So Debbie, turned her grief into like a triumph, and she kind of carried on, where Bianca had left off. And she started the nonprofit organization called Bianca's Kids. And you can look at it at biancaskids.org online. And they help, children in need. It started off with foster kids. Like, she reached out to Child and Family Services, and she was providing them with gifts and whatnot, and trying to grant wishes, for the kids. And it's just kind of gone from there. And it's like any kid now. I'm so proud of Debbie, and she's written a book called, From Grief to Gratitude, The Making of Bianca's Kids, and it's by Debbie Savigliano, and it was on Amazon, and I bought it, and I read the whole thing in one day, and it is just fantastic. I mean, it's hard for me to read it, to know, knowing what they went through, and reading it again was really tough, but I think it's inspiring, and I think that if anybody has experienced loss of any kind, this is the book to read. It's just about turning it around, and as difficult as it might be, how rewarding it really ends up being for not only the person that's doing the giving, but to the kids and the families that are receiving these gifts. It's just amazing. So if you get a chance, check that out. It's called From Grief to Gratitude, The Making of Bianca's Kids by Debbie Savigliano. And I'm so super proud of her and what she's doing. I think, as of this date, they have provided over 12,000 wishes for kids in the up north parts of the U.S. And that's just it's just incredible. It's incredible, and it's going full steam. There's no signs of it stopping. It's just amazing what they're doing. They take like entire camp of children to the Philadelphia Eagles training sessions, so they get to meet their NFL heroes and just things like that. They do bedroom makeovers. They've provided a home for the homeless. They have, you know, any kind of toy imaginable they have come up again. They've provided wheelchairs and prom dresses and makeovers and all kinds of things. It's just, it's crazy what this family has done, and what they've done out of their grief, how they've just turned it around. So that was, it was like a little bit of an emotional morning there. And, knowing too that, they just lost their stepdad, Jock, who I know you guys have heard me talk about. My mom, her best friend, Italia, is Debbie's mother. And her husband, Jock died, December 20th. They just had a big memorial service for him over the weekend. So it was a little emotional. But on the upside, of happier times, I was able to, actually have a text conversation with Donna. So I just want you guys to know that she is alive and well, and she actually granted a wish herself to one of our listeners. So she sent an MLR hat to Vijay's because she saw that that's all JJ's wanted for her birthday was an MLR hat. So Donna, granted that wish and she actually mailed out a hat. So I'm very proud of you, Donna. I didn't know that while we were texting, but I'm very proud. And JJ's, I'm glad you got your birthday wish because I didn't have one. Well, I did, but it had a London logo on it and it was Velcro and I knew that wasn't what you wanted, but I would have sent it if you did. But I knew exactly what you were looking for and I'm so glad that you got it. So that's great. So Donna is alive and well, doesn't get better than that. And then I want to give a couple of shout outs right off the bat. First of all, to my local listener, Kirsty, my local listener, from right here, right around the corner, near Chin. I just want to say thank you so much for your lovely email that you sent. She's such a good girl, you guys. She sends me, every once in a while, she'll send me an email with a list of really cool restaurants to check out because she knows what a food whore I am, and that's fantastic. So thank you so much. And she also sent me a whole bunch of cool little discount, they're kind of like coupon codes for some grocery home deliveries because she knows I'm a spoiled brat and I have to have my groceries delivered. So Kirsty, thank you so much for checking in and for your suggestion. It was really weird. I got Kirsty's email on a Wednesday night. And on Thursday, I had plans to go with the lovely Kirsten Arnold and Hazel, our fairy godmother Hazel. We were all going to a place called Broncos in Worcester Park. And oddly enough, in Kirsty's email to me on Wednesday, she said, I live locally and I've seen that there's a new American place on the Worcester Park High Street called Broncos. I don't have any idea if it's good or not, but it always seems busy. I know that's no guarantee of quality given the culinary taste of the average Brit. So Kirsty, I just want you to know that it was on my radar. We went the next day. And it was fantastic. The service was a little slow. I kind of think that they may have forgot our order. So it was a little bit slow, but it was definitely worth it. It was worth the wait. And I think that, because they're new, they're still working out their kinks. But I had jumbo shrimp as an appetizer and it was in this fluffy, fluffy batter and it was fantastic. And then, their barbecue sauce. So Hazel got the half rack and I forget what else was with hers, or maybe she just got the full rack. And then Kirsten got the half rack and shrimp, barbecue shrimp. And I got a burger. I got like a bacon cheeseburger and everything was fantastic. And I don't know, you guys know me well enough. No, I'm a big girl and I normally don't have a problem finishing my food and anybody else's, but I actually could not finish my burger. It was so big. Well, I think it was the starter was really big. Like when I say jumbo shrimp, I mean jumbo shrimp. Like you got, I think, five of them. And like I said, it was in this super big, fluffy, light, crisp batter. Not breading. It was in like a almost like a tempura, but not. I don't know how to describe it, but it was really good. But I think that really filled me up. And so I could only knock out half my burger. And they had fantastic coleslaw. Their menu was pretty extensive for a barbecue joint, like really extensive, like a lot of different kinds of burgers, shrimp, ribs, chicken wings. The girls raved. They had a starter that had chicken wings, nachos, Potato skins were great. I tried the potato skins. The wings, the barbecue sauce was great. They have like a regular barbecue sauce and they have a Jack Daniel's sauce. I liked the regular. I'm okay with like at Fridays the Jack Daniel's sauce because it's got a little more smoke to it, and so did this. But I like the sweetness of the their house barbecue sauce was. It was good. So it was really good. And you were right; it was a little bit crowded. I don't know if it's if you can book up, but if you can, I would imagine that would be the way to go. They also have, I don't know, Kirsty, if you noticed this in the front window, but they have a sundae area and a gelato and ice cream. Oh, yeah, baby. So my game plan next time is to just have a starter and then be able to have some ice cream. So I'm working that out. But it's good because it was nice and close, and we were able to just park at Kirsten's, who lives on the other side of the street, and then we snuck through across the street, and we were right there. Boom! So that was a great night. We had a lot of laughs, big fun, and we were so full, it was ridiculous. So that was a good start to the week. So thank you so much, Kirsty, for writing in. I appreciate that. And then also I want to give a huge shout-out to and big congrats to Amber and Claire, or otherwise known as Clamber, the lovely couple from Heads Hearts, are pregnant with their first little baby due in June. So congratulations, you guys. You're going to be fantastic. I don't know if you guys know this, but the newest She Magazine is out with Michelle Samuel on the cover of She Mag. She was the runner-up, I think, in the 2 seasons ago, The Voice. And it really, I mean, she ended up being the winner, I think, in most of our hearts. I don't know if it was the glasses or if it was actually The Voice or knowing that she was an out lesbian. I'm not quite sure. But she is in a relationship with Mary Lambert, which I think is adorable. And I got to interview her, and it is in the She Magazine right now that is up. Digital version is available for you at www.shemag.com. So definitely check that out. And then, like I said, I am very into hashtag right now on Tello. OneMoreLesbian.com/Tello or TelloFilms.com will take you there. I'm so into hashtag season 2. I just finished episode 5 this morning, and I'm jonesing. And from what I understand in my conversation with Kristen, there are 9 episodes of this season. So we're halfway there, folks. I'm super, super thrilled. I'm totally Team Tosh, if anybody asks. I'm totally Team Tosh. And then I also want to remind you and give a huge shout-out to RainbowRadio.fm. I am on the air on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. That's 12 noon Pacific, and that's 8 p.m. over here in the UK. Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on RainbowRadio.fm. It is the Lesbian Lounge Power Hour with me. It's basically just a chat show. I don't have all the topics and segments that we have here on this show, and I probably won't. I like just being able to blab about nothing and not have a format and just kind of freewheel, if you will, freestyle, freeballing, whatever you want to call it. That's what I'm doing over there. So check that out if you get a chance. They're also putting those shows up as podcasts, so you can go to rainbowradio.fm if you missed the live show. Go to the tab that says shows, drop down to podcasts, and click on that link. It takes you to SoundCloud, and they're in order by date. So you won't, if you can't listen live, don't worry. I don't want to get you in trouble at work, because I know it's weird times. But it was Wednesday, and that's always near and dear to my heart. So that was why I picked it. I was going to go into news and hot topics, but let's do that, and then I'll play my interview with Kristen. The first thing, right off the bat, I got to say, I'm so excited. Lady Gaga got engaged to actor Taylor Kinney of Chicago Fire. He plays the big hunky Kelly Severide on Chicago Fire. He's totally hot. I didn't even know they were a couple until like a couple of months ago. I don't know why. I saw something and I said to Gemma, is Lady Gaga with Severide from Chicago Fire? And she was like, yeah, for like a really long time. I'm like the only one that didn't know this. Like, that's incredible. I think I fell in love with him again when we went to the movies and saw The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann and Kate Upton. He was in that, and I just loved him, and I like his character in Chicago Fire. I just think he's adorable, and he's hot. Like, as a lesbian, I feel comfortable enough to say he's hot. I don't want to sleep with him or anything, but he's hot to look at. Really cute. So, way to score, Lady Gaga. Way to score. What else? Oh, Rosie's HBO special was on Valentine's Day. That's one of the hardest things about living over here, is knowing these things are going on in the States and I wasn't a part of it. But Julie, thank you so much for sending me little clips, a whole bunch of clips and links and everything. So I got to watch a lot of it. I didn't get to see the whole thing in its entirety, but I have watched a shit ton of clips. and I guess it's really important to note, Rosie gives you the signs for women are very different having a heart attack than when a man has a heart attack. And her reminder is HEPPP. So it's hot, exhausted, pain, pale, and puke. And she's got a little song like hot, exhausted, pain, pale, and puke. Hot, exhausted, pain, pale, and puke. So, I mean, it's great because it kind of sticks in your brain. And like she said, she was experiencing the symptoms on a Monday and didn't even go to the doctors until Wednesday, and it turned out that she had a major heart attack. So I guess, you know, awareness saves lives. So be aware of the signs. Again, very different. I mean, I think we've all always heard that it's arm pain, chest pain, collapsing, sweating, you know, but maybe that's for the men. But women, it's very different. It's an exhausting kind of heat. You're hot, she said, like nothing you've experienced, not even hot flashes and menopause. You're exhausted. She said it's like walking through syrup. You have inexplicable pain. Could be in your head, could be in your neck, could be in your jaw, could be in your mouth, could be in your hands, could be your arms, could be your chest. But it is a major pain. And then you pale as a ghost and you will vomit. So those are the signs to look for. And I think it's great what she does is kind of pepper in a little bit of humor about it. And those are the things that end up kind of making you remember. Like something that makes, I don't know, anything that makes me laugh, I remember because I want to repeat it. I want to laugh again. So I love that she's kind of wrapped it up into a stand-up comedy special. So I guess you could find it on HBO.com if you missed it. But I'm so thrilled that Julie sends me these links. I got to see so many clips. I got to see a ton of clips from Saturday Night Live, the 40th anniversary special. Oh my God, the Jeopardy is hilarious. The Weekend Update, Jimmy Kimmel, Justin Timberlake opening. It was fantastic seeing all those. I swear I relived my entire childhood watching these clips. That was really, really big fun. Over on social media, there's a bit of a Twitter war going on. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Khloe Kardashian and Amber Rose are in a major Twitter battle, if anybody cares. I don't. Just letting you know that's peaking, I think, right about now. I can't, you know, it's just, it kind of amazes me when celebrities, like, take shots at each other. I mean, like, can't you just be grateful and just shut up and be a good people? I mean, I would, if I had that level of fame and money, the last thing I would want to do is upset anyone. I would just want to do good. You know, and it just amazes me that you know, maybe that's what it is. They have too much time and they just want to feel something. So they take shots at one another and get in these hideous, embarrassing Twitter wars. So stupid. On a sad note, Leslie Gore, It's My Party. Leslie Gore, is that her? Anyways, Leslie Gore passed away at the age of 68 after a long battle with cancer. I don't think it's My Party, you guys. I'm so sorry. I suck at this. It's everywhere. But I do. I feel bad because somebody posted it on my, Noonie, I think, posted it on my Facebook wall, and she was saying that she didn't know that she was a family. And I don't think I did up until like a year or two ago, which sucks. I mean, we should be more familiar with our community, a little bit more familiar. But anyways, that was kind of sad because 68 is way too young, way too young. I also want to say congratulations to my buddy Erica on her 1 year anniversary with Sharon. Congratulations, you two. I just adore how cute you are and how happy you are, Erica. I am so happy for you. That's big news in my community, anyways. And they, you know, the funny part is like, you know, they waited such a long time before they ended up moving in together. And then when they did, all these things went wrong in the house. And I, like anybody else, I know exactly they were like, is this a sign? But they're doing fantastic. So I couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier for my buddy over in St. Pete. And then, what else? But big news today. Oh yeah, big news today. Stonewall UK today announced that it would formally begin including trans in their fundraising and awareness efforts, and apologizes for not doing it sooner. I didn't know that they excluded. So I guess that's fantastic. I didn't know. They released a statement saying over the next 18 months, the charity will take steps to ensure trans expertise is reflected on its board of trustees and will work in partnership with trans organizations to avoid replicating work that they've already been doing. In the forward to report published today, the chief executive, Ruth Hunt, recalls why Stonewall separated sexual orientation and gender identity and says, historically, we thought it was the right thing to do. Today, society has moved on and Stonewall will no longer maintain the strict distinction between sexual orientation and gender identity. So that's fantastic to make it all inclusive, because their efforts they're widely recognized and it's really important. So good for you, Stonewall. Good for you, I say. Good for you. If anybody still watches Glee, you should be commended for hanging in there as long as you have. But the reward has been Santana and Brittany's wedding and Coach Beast. I think the character played by Dot Marie Jones became Sheldon Beast, transitioning from female to male. Always controversial, right to the end, Ryan Murphy, and that's why we love you. Do you guys, I don't know if you watch NCIS. I've just started to since I've moved over here. Sometimes at night, at the end of a long day, I need to hear something other than British accents. And I know that sounds terrible. I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's just, I just want to watch something in American. And not that these shows are my style, but they're on repeatedly on a million different channels and all different seasons. NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, CSIs. I mean, they're all over. So I've kind of gotten hooked on NCIS, and now I'm a little more up to speed, right up into this season. I've watched, I think, all the seasons, so I'm actually into season 12 now. But Polly Parrott is a huge LGBT supporter. She's a big ally, and she plays Abby, the one that's like tattooed and goth, and she's the medical, and not even an examiner. I forget which she is, but she's the lab expert or whatever. Polly Parrott is sending a message to LGBTQ youth to let them know that they are beautiful no matter what. She's got a new song that she wrote called Beautiful Child, and it features Lance Bass, Kristen Vangenis, Calpurnia Adams, and Kevin Lawson. And you can view the video on YouTube right now. So I guess you just go to YouTube and plug in Beautiful Child, Polly Parrott, and it'll come up. And it's amazing. And Trevor Project is supporting it. It's a big deal. And I love, love, love when our straight friends support the LGBTQ, especially the youth. You know, like, her character is very popular. I think that a lot of kids identify with Abby. So I think it's fantastic that she is using that and reaching out and doing something super positive. So a big, big, huge shout out and ups to Polly Parrott. And singer Pink, that would be G-Monk's future wife, Pink. Singer Pink went naked for PETA in their I'd Rather Be Naked Than Wear Fur campaign that's very popular. And I got to tell you guys, I put the picture in our Lesbian Lounge Facebook group, and it has got the most likes of anything I've ever put in there. I think top rounding out at 23. So thank you, guys. I see where your minds are at. It's fantastic. I mean, you put Pink, naked, and PETA together, and you really have tapped into the lesbian community right there. So fantastic way to create awareness there. And on a personal note, like this Fitbit thing, Like, seriously, this Fitbit craze? I can't stand it. I want you to take your Fitbits and shove them up your ass, please. Like, everyone knows, basically, you eat less, get some exercise, and for the love of God, we as fatties, like, let's just unite and stop making money for the already rich marketing people. God, we'll fall for anything when we know exactly what to do. Ugh, anyways, I had mentioned before getting to know you. We can do this. We can fast track it. We can get to know you in a flash and you can play from home. This was something that Donna and I did every time I would fly back to Florida. We would take a day in the studio and we would open up the phones and we would ask you silly listeners a bunch of questions that were goofy and ridiculous and sometimes dirty, but it was so fun. And it was a way of us getting to know you. So that's what we named the segment. But then we felt like a lot of people may have not had that day free to do it, and they wanted to take part in it. They listen. They love it. So you know what? You can play. You can play. You don't have to call in. What I'm going to do is ask you the same six questions. We'll do this for a couple of months so that everybody knows the questions back and forth. And then just email us your answers so we can read them on the air, where you're from, what you do, and the answers to these questions. Number one, what was your first job, like real job, paying job, your first job? What's the most listened to song on your iTunes is number two. Most listened to song in your iTunes. Number three, under or over the great toilet paper debate. Major controversy, such a conundrum. Are you an over or an under person? Number four, what do you think of Ellen? What do you think Ellen smells like? Simple enough. We asked this about Melissa Etheridge. If you have thoughts on that, you know, don't be afraid to weigh in. But what do you think Ellen smells like? Also, if you know for a fact, let us know. number five, best date spot to you. Is it a diner, a drive-in, or a dive? And the bonus one, if you've got a little time, can you let us know what your worst date moment was, like a bad date? What's the worst thing that happened on a bad date? And email your answers to deniseanddonna@gmail.com. That would be lovely. And then somebody who we all get to know, and I love doing this. Like I said, this is one of my favorite things ever. As we got to catch up with Kristen Baker, who is the CEO. She is also like a director and everything for Tello Films. She is responsible for such things as The Throwaways, as some hashtag, you know, all this stuff that you are addicted to is Kristen's doing, and we love her. She was here for Elfest. We got to get to know her just a little bit better, and I am super happy to say that we finally caught up. We finally got to talk to Kristen, so I want to play this for you now. Yep. So you've been like crazy busy too, because your fundraising just kicked off, didn't it?
Yes.
God. I'm excited.
It's so exhausting.
I believe it, but I'm super excited because I don't think I knew about it right off the bat, and I had a couple listeners and a few Twitter followers that gave me like the nudge, like get going on this. They're starting.
Thank
get going.
God. Oh yay! Oh, I love them. I love them.
Yeah.
It's,
so
you know, it's weird. It started off so you know I didn't think about this, but you know Nancy Lee is in the middle of Mardi Gras right now, like, and she's in the middle. So she's entertaining. So she hasn't been able to tweet as much. So I've been trying to make up for it. So hopefully after today on Wednesday, like she'll start really doing the hard push and emails. And I think we teed it up nicely. So hopefully, that'll be good.
Let's for a minute there. Was it last year? Or, no, 2 years ago. I don't even know when they raised like an incredible amount of money to get the series up and going. So hopefully, I mean, I know anybody that watches it is anxious for the next one. So I feel like I got to get to those people and tell them, you know, like the only way we're going to do this is with your help. So it's hard. It's really hard to push for that kind of thing. Because I'm never one that, like, obviously, that's probably why we are where we are. But, like, we've just never been people that were good about asking for money, you know. And it's like, you know that it. You know, I always tell my listeners, don't just pass by those Indiegogo links and Facebook, you know, pushes and stuff. Like, check them out. And if it's something you're interested in, even if it's $5, $10, $20, like, throw it at it.
Yep.
It's yep. so it's ridiculous. But I have a really good feeling about it because first of all,
thank you.
The setting, you know, I just watched, what was it last night? I was watching NCIS and it was like this double bill and they're pushing the new New Orleans one. And I'm like, and like I was watching it and I'm like, that's exactly what it reminded me of. Like all those amazing street scenes and you know, it's like, it is, it's like another character.
Oh, it is. And we're going to go like even bigger and more fun. We want to have a pirate scene. Like there's this like whole like pirate club group around there, and then we're gonna kind of get into the NOLA art scene a little bit. So we're really excited to show different, but also like just still very like New Orleans and like you know that French kind of style. So we're super pumped.
It's gonna be awesome because I think right now my theory is that pirates are the new vampires.
Right?
Yes.
There's that new show that I haven't seen that I'm dying to see on Stars that it's about pirates.
Oh, really?
And there's like hot lesbian pirates.
Oh, my.
There's like a lesbian storyline in there.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know. I can't remember what it's called, but they have like, you know, Anne Bonny. Like there are some like legit female pirates from history who used to dress as men. And they're in there and they're like having a little a love affair and... Yeah, you got to check it out.
Oh, I do.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. If you go into some, I think After Ellen or One More Lesbian tweets,
they
talk about it a little bit.
Probably. And they're on top of everything.
I know it's on Stars, though, so you could probably even go to the Stars website and find it.
We'll have to check it out. We are the new proud owners of the Amazon Fire box hookup.
Oh.
I know. It's like, it is so nice to be able to, it works so fast. You know, it's not like when you had to use your HDMI cable and plug it up to your internet and hope that your connection was good. I mean, everything is just, it's insane. We watched all of the Transparents, you know, in one big go.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So good. And then I discovered Salem Rogers with Leslie Bibb. And I love
it. Oh, yeah.
I like what they do. They kind of give you a mashup. Like you can watch this video. It's a mashup of like 10 pilots that are on Amazon and they're only one episode and you watch, you know, watch the ones that you want and then you rate them and star them and everything. And that's kind of how they decide what's going to get made. We felt like, and I remember saying to Gemma, isn't it weird? Like how much control we have over our entertainment now? Here we are. We're deciding the future of these shows. We're like network head honchos right now.
You're totally. That's exactly what it is. The people are now the network schedulers.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. And you, what about, let's talk a little bit about hashtag because I'm already Jones. I'm on episode 5. I watched it this morning. I'm up to speed.
You're gonna love the next episode. You're gonna love 6.
I'm not gonna say that I was disappointed. I didn't get to see Marnie in episode 5 at all. But
she's not in 6 either.
Oh, great! Thanks for that.
I just want to manage your expectations. The next few episodes are all about Marley's mom.
And what a great I love the actress.
Stephanie Scherr.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. It's like I said to you, I guess when you had the whole first season and part of the second season to in your head visualize what you think this character is going to be like. And I was amazed with your casting because I was like, what a perfect call. Like she's just so, I don't know where we're going in 6, but as of right now, like the introduction and this latest episode, I'm like, this is exactly what I felt the character should be like. So that was just fantastic. It was really good.
So we felt, obviously Liv, the actress Laura Zach, who's also the co-writer, and I think we were both, the two of us were obsessed with casting Marley's mom.
I can imagine.
Because we, you know, first of all, I mean, of course, Laura was because it was kind of another romantic lead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have Marnie Alton.
Yeah.
Whoever is going to like not want Marnie Alton to slip a key in your pants?
Exactly.
And be like, come over to my house anytime.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
there's an edger coming around here. Is that gonna
a weeder? No,
am
it's
I
fine.
Okay?
It's good.
Okay. So Yeah, so we had to find someone who you could look at her and her vibe and you could say, like, okay, I get why you're kind of attracted to this, or you want to explore this person.
Exactly.
And so I knew the writing was going to do it, but if you didn't get that person who could go head-to-head with Marnie Alton,
yeah,
forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
So like, talk about that. Like, what was that process like? Did you see a gazillion people?
We didn't see a gazillion. We were very targeted. So we actually used a casting director here in Chicago named Michael McCasey. And we worked with him on like Cowgirl Up and Nikki and Nora. And so I just went to him and I was like, Michael, here's the script. Here's our problem. And he knows Marnie. So he was like, oy, okay, yeah, let's figure this out. So we actually went to a few targeted artists, actors who either didn't want to do it or scheduling conflicts. And so we were like, Michael, let's just do a casting call for it. And Stephanie Shirk like walked in, they put it on tape, and Laura was actually in the room and got to read with them. So it was really good for her to kind of vibe off of the people in there. And so she said they saw like 11 or 13 people, and she said, there's three that we really think she and Michael, they were like, there's three that we really feel like could do this. And Laura was like, there's one who just made me feel things that I really, really love.
Yeah.
So if you think she's great, like, let's go for it. And it was Stephanie. And she just, God, my God, look at her. You just look at her and you're like,
she's gorgeous, cool. But in this earthy way that you like, you would not be surprised if you bumped into somebody that looked like that, you know, like not unattainable, but just what a natural beauty.
Total natural. Like, she looks, obviously we did hair and makeup and it just made her pop.
Yeah.
But she could go without that and you would just do a double take at how attractive she is. And she's got just a gorgeous body. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
We will
boom.
Take that.
Done.
And then, we had to cast that person first, because then we had to cast her two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So,
think about that,
and
right?
So when you see her two daughters, we have this really lovely shot. They're all on a couch. And you look and you're like, oh, my God, like, that's exactly what her kids would look like.
That's fantastic.
Like, they were this great. They looked like a family. They acted like a family. It was fantastic. So, so we had to cast Marley's mom early, because then from there, the other casting was kind of dependent, because if she had dark hair, we wanted to cast people with dark hair, or if she was someone with an ethnicity, you know, we were gonna, you know, look at doing that. So,
exactly.
Wow. As soon as we started looking at season two, I was like, I just said to Jess and Julie and Laura, I was like, oh crap, you know, I love that we have Marnie, but gosh, this causes a big problem.
This is gonna be huge. Marley. Yeah. Yeah. I get it, man. I get it. It's so crazy though. Like, as a viewer, not knowing anything that happens behind the scenes or how anything gets made or what the process is or anything, just as a viewer, especially like since Transparent, I think all of a sudden, like I got like acutely aware of when something is really well done. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, like that was just like, when I watched Transparent, I was like, man, is this ever, this is cast so well. This is,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
the kids are assholes and self-centered, mm-hmm. narcissistic, you know, jerks, but just like any other kid would be, especially at the ages. But then when they show them, you know, when you go in the flashbacks and they've got these kids that are cast that look just like them, and it's like, oh my God, they're just like little extensions. And all of a sudden it was just I just like appreciated it so much more as a viewer. Like, it just made it so much more believable. And I think when you're doing when your content is so specific to a community, you have so much more pressure to do it right and to make it serve its justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know that I would have watched season one and thought, oh, this person isn't really what I thought. Like, when I watched Hashtag, like, I didn't have any of those thoughts. Like, that person doesn't fit that person. That's, you know, everything just, it went really, really good. And then, like I said, like, there was just this surge of appreciation. And then now going into the second season, and I think the buildup with Marley's mom, and I'm like, you nailed it. like nailed it, and I felt it, and I was like, man, that's awesome.
That's huge.
Is there like do you feel like since Elfest that you've had a different viewer base? Like, do you feel a lot of people started watching here in England? Did you have any feedback or anything like that? Did you change anything after going, like, knowing that it was presented at this big international festival? Like,
no, it didn't. You know, the thing is, like, we have things planned out, like months in advance. Like right now, we shot something in July that's not going to be released until this July, and we have, so I would love to say like we are that, we're relatively nimble compared to, other studios. Mm-hmm. I would love to say that we're nimble enough to be able to react like that quickly to projects. Unfortunately, we're not. The good thing though is at Elfest, I think it was there that I talked to like Katie and Naomi,
mm-hmm. from Planet
again,
London.
And I was like, when are we going to do something that is from
London? We're all working feverish bitches.
Come on, And I think it was a little bit before that. And then I saw them again when we were at Rain Dance,
mm-hmm.
and like they had sent me a script and we really started talking about it. And so we're moving on that. But I think being out there, made me even more wanting to have more content from the UK.
Yeah, it's I believe
and
it.
And so we're locked, we're locked into the timeline of other creatives.
Sure.
But, we're trying to figure out how can we support this? What can we do to help move the process and forward it and get the right people involved? And Katie and Naomi and you are all in that process as well. And so, we really want to, I think I'm even that much more wanting to come out of the gate with something for that community.
I think one of the things, being the moderator of the Q&As afterwards at Elfest with us and the audience, it seemed like that was the running theme. Everybody was interested in like, would you do something over here? Would you have something that was more British based? Would you, and it was like really interesting to see them all of a sudden jonesing for something. And I think maybe I always said when I moved over here, and this will be my fourth year here. And I remember saying this to Donna when I went back home for a visit, almost every time I kept saying, it's amazing. Like, I feel like we may have peaked in the States with the podcast thing. But over here there is no such thing. Because that's how everybody gets their information. Because, their primary mode of transportation is a tube or a train or a bus, or they're walking somewhere. And even just to run, really quick to the corner shop for something, and you see the people walking on the high streets, everybody's got their earbuds in, and it's, into their phone. And that was like, for the first 2 years, I saw my listening audience growing and growing with every event that I did. I could see that it was growing, and then you go behind the scenes and you can see where things are coming from, and realizing it was, we were growing more here in the UK and everything. And I was like, wow, there's no end to it over here. And I thought that like with the social media and everything helping, like it gives it such a boost. But then when it comes to like web series and websites and information, I realized they're doing it the same as us. Like everybody, before we became Amazon Fire people, everybody was using that HDMI cable and hooking up their laptops to their TV and watching, web series like they would watch a regular show. And I'm like, wow, I thought we were the only ones doing it, but it's everyone. And I think having a couple of web series involved in the cinema each year at Elfest really has made people go, whoa, like this is really cool. Like I don't know that they were that aware of it. They were more aware of like podcast information, but now they were super aware that they could go home and watch this stuff anytime they wanted. And that's the thing especially with hashtag, because everything, it's so topical and it's so relevant, and everybody is going through something like that in some way, shape or form. So it's like so relatable that there is nobody in our age group right now that doesn't know what's going on and that isn't you know, doesn't have something they can relate to when they're watching it. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
so fantastic, and this and it's and, going. The pace of it is going really well too.
Oh, thank you. You know, we definitely Caitlin and Laura after. And really us too, after seeing season one, I think they really tightened the dialogue and tightened the scene so that you really got that punch in there and then got out and then off to something else. And so that was really, really good. They definitely kind of saw where they could improve that in season one and then took off with it. And I think they even got a little bit more daring, not just with like intimacy that's about to you know hit with Marley's mom and Caitlin's season two or episode two staircase
yes
that and even with some of the it's again it's coming up just some of the hilarious stuff that's going to happen to Caitlin's characters in these two. So I think they just, you know, not only did they get in and out of scenes quicker, but they went broader with like intimacy, with comedy. And I think it's really showing and ramping up in season two. So we're very excited about that.
One of the things I was most impressed by, having met Caitlin and listened to her answer questions from the audience, it was really interesting to hear how she writes kind of for her character and Laura writes kind of for her character. So I guess I pictured them like sitting on a couch facing each other with laptops on their lap, banging stuff out and throwing things off of one another, when really they're just kind of focused on, you know, the few things that merge them together. Their friendship is what merges them together, but their lives and what they're writing is kind of separate. And that's really, really an interesting way to go at it.
Yeah, I think, and I do think a lot of writers that are writing teams do this. They'll get together and meet and just talk about what is it that they want their characters to do and what they think would be funny and pitching things. And then they go off and kind of write a little bit. And then they show it to me and say, well, here's what we're thinking, or here's where we're having trouble with things. And then I'll give my thoughts and feedback and, you know, ask questions or, you know, really pitch other ideas. And then they go off and they then write separately and they use like a Google Doc.
That's so great.
Yeah. And then they'll get together and read it and format it and then send it to me. Oh, hold on. The blower man is about to come back.
Hello, Mr. Gardner. Hello,
hold
Mr.
on.
Gardner.
Let me go in the kitchen. Hold on.
It's gonna blow your laptop
and
off.
And then
I go
in the kitchen, and the dog will be barking. Yeah. I would go back in my. I have a little place back there, but they, like I said, the internet connection isn't great. Let's see here. There we go.
Oh, there. And there goes the gardener man.
There we go. All right, that's at least a little better.
So we, I see Katie and Naomi all over at all these events and everything, and Kat Holmes from Submerged.
Hold on, just a second. I know. Hang on. Rosalind's back here. He's back here. It'll take him a second. He just is blowing stuff. Yeah, I got on the Skype with Kat.
Yeah.
And someone else, and Naomi, recently.
It's so funny.
She's living with them.
Yeah. So I was at the comedy festival, the Stonewall Women Girls Night Out comedy thing, and Kat pulled me aside and said, I've got, like, big stuff that we need to talk about really soon. And I was like, okay. So I feel like, you know, it's just a community that's growing and growing and growing. It's got to be – is it weird to feel like you – like, to keep up with it, you know, from your – point of view, because it's already huge, like web content is just already huge over there, but I feel like it's growing really fast over here and everybody's scrambling right now. is it really hard to keep up?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with the content, which is a great problem.
Yeah.
I feel like every so often there's a new project that I need to know about or be familiar with
right.
on my radar. And that can, you know, with just even with like TV content that I keep up with, then web series content that I'm trying to keep up with. But I think it's a great problem at the same time.
Yeah. If you got to have a problem, too much content would be it.
Too much content for lesbians. Yeah. I think what we're, you know, looking at now is, you know, a lot of people are still releasing it in the hopes that their project will be like Broad City and picked up on TV, and so they're still not as willing to distribute through us and make some money. So we still have that battle. I think I'm hoping that'll change, because I think the web is now being seen as not a, like, I think it's, some people are seeing it as a means to an end, mm-hmm. as opposed to an end itself. And so I think now people are starting to see that it can be an end in and of itself. You can have great content, you can make some money on it, and build a resume. So
especially,
that's where we are.
Especially with Netflix and Amazon and, you know, giving way to that aspect of it. And I think that's a lot of the ways people are watching it, you know, watching it on Amazon, watching it on Netflix, watching it on their computer, basically. So it is. It's really it's a cool way to go, because it does seem like there's no end in sight. So you are in LA right now, but you're back and forth between Nashville and LA.
Yeah.
And I just saw that Nashville's getting snow, so you probably made the smarter move.
I did.
Yeah. Got out of there just in time.
They were like, snow's coming tomorrow. And I was flying out, and I was like, see ya.
So long, suckers.
Totally. I called my mom. I was like, I just want you to know I'm running in a t-shirt and shorts right now. And she was like,
click.
Thanks a lot. It's snowing right now and freezing. I was like, sorry.
I know. Everybody, I said, I'm like, Facebook has now become like your weather update central. Like, you don't even need to log on to your phone. Just scroll down Facebook. But that's one of the cool things about social media. Like, I just saw Planet London did a feature on hashtag again, and they have such a great community. Like, it's just, it's always,
they do. They're always being very great to us, doing an interview, I think, with Caitlin and Laura, and then I think they were scheduling one with Marnie. Did that come out? Was that the one?
Possibly. I was just reading that. No, this was a little while ago, so this one was just with the girls. But yeah, I know, we have to get Marnie on. Like, without a doubt, we have to get Marnie on. But she's so busy too, because she has another project that she has, a fitness studio, right?
Yeah, I can schedule something though.
Oh,
we can
good.
Get you on.
Very good. I was thinking the other day when I saw, was it you that was there and Bridget was there? And I was like, wow, all you needed was Nicole Travolta, and you would have had like a whole reunion at Barbell.
We did. We did.
Nicole was there?
Nicole was there. Yeah. No, Nicole was there. It was, I like walked in, and this like person who I didn't like did like made this like, hey, and then didn't like get up and say anything. And I was like, I don't, is she talking to me or this other person that was in there? So we were all in Marnie's class. And then I looked over and she said something. And when Nicole said something, I was like, oh my God, that's Nicole Travolta. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So Marnie, Nicole and Bridget and I were all in the class. Yeah. It was fantastic.
That's surreal.
It was hilarious.
It's
great. I was
like,
you guys.
It keeps Marnie really busy though. Like, and Bridget, like, I love, like, she's posting these pictures and you can see such a difference. I'm like, oh man, holy
crap. I'm going to that class tonight, actually, and I'm going to get my ass kicked. I know.
Oh,
but yeah, Bridget and I are going to Marnie's class tonight, so.
It's fantastic, though. It's really cool because it's really catching on. I follow all of them on social media, and they're so supportive
of
each other.
Yeah.
Even Nicole. I mean, I follow Nicole, and I'm always.
She's a hoot.
She had a picture the other day of her and her
friend. Two girls, one taco?
Yes. Yes. And I was like, who shares a taco? I was like, give me three. Who shares a taco?
I was like, this is amazing. I wrote to her. I was like, what did I say? I put a comment on it. Like, I've never been more attracted to you than I am right now, or something like that. I just was like, Nicole, I love you to death. She's a two girls, one taco. I was like, that's kind of hot, actually.
It could be. It could be a slogan. It could be, you never know. It could be a whole new show. That's the thing.
I know, right?
It's hysterical. Talk to me a little bit about the idea, and this is something like now on our MyLesbianRadio.com feed, we have a book club, which is not like read a book, we're going to talk about it. It's Claire Lydon, who is a really popular lesbian fiction author over here in the UK. And she's basically talking about all different processes, like what different writers do, interviewing different writers, talking about different books that are out there, talking about different styles of writing, talking about fanfic, talking about publishing, going with publisher versus self-publishing. Is there ever anybody that's come to you and said, I want to make my book film? Like, is that something, is that new? Like, I feel like I'm... not getting creeped on by authors, but I have a lot of authors now lately that have been coming to me or following me. And I'm like, oh, geez, I'm not really an author. You know, like Claire, go see Claire, go, you know, talk to Claire. But it's great to have them, you know, listening and interested, because it seems like it's a big deal now.
Yeah, we're working on a project with an author named John Cannon, and he has a series called Riley Para that has lesbian leads. And we are, you know, it's the one project that I wish we could move faster on. But it has a lot of like sci-fi elements and like fantasy elements.
Yeah.
And so that tends to be a little bit more expensive. So what we've been working on is finding someone who can do post on it.
Post-production, right.
And he's very smart, because he's written it so that we can shoot it without it there having to be a ton of special effects. But it's a super compelling story, and he's done a really great job of writing. He's sort of like a Joss Whedon, like the way he writes these like strong women. And he plays on Twitter with us a lot. He's really great. It's G-E-O-N-N. And he has a really great fan following as well. And so Riley Para is the book series, and he's written a script, and we are in trying to work towards doing that.
Is that hard? That's got to be pretty difficult. Is it? Well, it's him that adapted it then to script.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we just go through and we say, like, add more kissing.
Add more kissing.
That's what I did.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
There's one direction that you have to give, let it be
always,
that.
Always, every time, except for season 2 of Hashtag.
Didn't have to, they were already there.
I actually took one out, which is very rare. Like, I was reading it, and Caitlin just had this random scene of, like, she and Kate Black Spence of Rose.
Yeah.
And I was reading it, and they're like, and then she walks into the comedy club, and then they have, like, sex on the couch. And I was reading it, and I was like, there's no context, there's no scene. And I said, Caitlin, I can't believe I'm telling you this, but I need you to cut that scene, because it doesn't make sense. And she goes, oh, I think it was part of an earlier scene, and I just didn't cut it out.
Oh, we're gonna need, like, a, what do you call, you know, at the end when you have all the outtakes or whatever. Like, just throw it in there. Just let them do it, film it, and throw it in at the end. That's my personal request.
That cost me money, Denise.
Oh, damn it. I'll donate more. I'll donate more.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
That is so funny. So what I remember you – okay, you said you shot something in July, and it's going to come out this July. Can you tell us what that is or no?
Yeah, sure. No, it's called Plus One.
Okay.
It's with a comedian named Mo Welch and Danielle Owens Reed. And Danielle Owens Reed does a project called that's Kitty. She's in Nikki and Nora. She does the Everyone Is Gay stuff.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep, I follow them on Twitter too. Yep.
Yeah, so they wrote something and co-star in it, and it's about these two best friends, who's a straight guy and a lesbian, and the straight guy starts dating someone who he falls in love with, and then she falls in love with Mo's character.
Interesting.
And then there's Danielle has like a funny bit. She's kind of like the neighbor best friend. And she has a bit where she like is totally in love with this person that everyone thinks is really annoying, who she kind of doesn't want to be in love with, but she's like totally in love with her. It's really funny.
Oh, that's going to be good. I remember seeing pictures from the shoot. Like, you were tweeting pictures when you were shooting.
Yeah.
I'm like, when is that coming? And
I know we are putting up a 10 episode project in between that. So that's why it was bumped back.
Gotcha.
Because we shot it right after Hashtag. We shot it like 3 weeks after Hashtag.
Oh, man, that is busy. And Rent Control did really well, too.
Yeah.
That was another fun
one.
Yeah.
That was a really fun project.
That's really, that's the great, like right now you're up to like, what, 15 different series on television?
Yeah. Plus One's going to make it, this next project that we're shooting makes it 15. So Hashtag doesn't actually include another, because it's a season 2.
Right.
So it'll be 15 with like 3 or 4 that have multiple seasons.
It's so awesome. And then a lot of people ask me, and I never know what to say, but what about Gay Straight Therapy? Are we going to see more of that in different places or something?
I know. Those those bitches are so fucking busy.
I know.
Like, we are a product of their success. Like, we are, like, I, you know, it's that thing where, like, I'm so happy for you, but not really, because it hurts me.
But now you're unavailable, right?
But they, like, I, you know, have been, I can't even get, like, I can't even grab a beer with them. They're so busy.
I believe
we're slammed,
it.
We're doing this, we're doing pickups, we're doing this.
What was, like, I? I was watching something the other night that was new here. That we just, I mean, I'm sure you guys have it in the States, but it was new here with
the couch thing?
Grace from Will and Grace. Deborah Messing.
Yeah, yeah, with Mystery. Janina's in it.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my God, does that mean we're not going to get her back for Nikki and Nora? That's my
exactly
thought. It's not even like, oh, how lovely, she's on a network show. It's, are we going to get her back for Nikki and Nora?
I know.
Man.
Yes. And that usually means no.
I know. It's so true. That's how we feel about
that. But you're right. It's like, yay, Janina.
Yeah. Damn it. You're right. Yay for you. Damn it. That's how we feel about Fortune, Feimster. Like, God, we had you on the show when you were doing YouTube videos of Darlene Witherspoon, you know?
And now, like, Annie freaking Potts is playing her mom. Like, I texted her and I was like, she was my favorite on Designing Women. I was like, congratulations, that's amazing. Like, Annie Potts.
I know. I love her. I have the whole Designing Women box set because of her.
You?
Yeah, just because of her. It's so amazing, though, to see. And that one of the things I was saying on the show after I watched Transparent was it was really neat to see some of the names in the credits of people that we've had on the show in the past. You know, Nisha Ganatra from Chutney Popcorn. And I mean, it was just like, whoa, you know, like wow, it's just incredible. And I guess, you know, I mean, we've been doing it long enough that certainly every lesbian eventually passes through the show.
True.
Like, yeah. So it was like, wow, you know, it's really, it's huge. And every time I update our website or something, or I'm doing something where I have to send information and I put the people that we've had on and the list grows and grows and grows and their credits are growing and growing and growing. It just makes me go, damn. I know a lot of famous people.
Totally.
It's very cool. So what else can we expect? Is there anything coming up that we should keep on our radar aside from funding Nikki and Nora?
Yeah, funding Nikki and Nora. If we do that, we shoot that in May. And then this summer will be Plus One, which, you know, and the exciting thing is hashtag season two goes through March 19th because there are 9 episodes.
I know,
so,
that's like, ooh, it's like a bonus.
It's really great that we have that much content with that show. And then we're working on a dance project that we hope to shoot this spring that is kind of about this ballet dancer who gets injured and is trying to make her last sort of hurrah in the dance community and ends up having to go to a modern dance company, which I guess in the ballet world is sort of like
being demoted.
A step down. Like ballet is, you know, like kind of the pinnacle. And so, and it's all about kind of how the dance community is very heteronormative, which you wouldn't think, but for lesbians, it's not the most friendly environment. So we're really kind of exploring that.
Interesting.
So we're looking at trying to cast some out dancers. So we're, you know, hopefully going to be calling some folks that people have seen before on different programs. So we're excited about those prospects. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, geez, I can't believe you even had time to talk to us. Now I know why you're so busy.
I know. I'm so sorry. We had family in that one day that we were trying to connect. And I was just like, that is makes me busier than anything else. So
yeah, that was weird because I was you know, trying to figure out first of all where you were to do the time thing, time calculation in my head, and then out of the clear blue, I couldn't believe that I was tweeting or retweeting something for Salem Rogers, and Lindsay, the writer, was like, you know, we're doing press, like, can you know, we'll talk. I was like, whoa. And we've had Leslie on the show before, but I didn't expect to be able to just get her that quick. So it worked out okay.
No, totally. Yeah.
So that was, it's fantastic though. I mean, like, I guess it's great that we're all so busy. I can't say a bad thing about that.
I know, it is.
Oh man, that was fun. I'm so glad that you guys got to hear that. I absolutely adore Kristen and what she's doing. It's a huge undertaking, and she's fantastic at it. She's the most amazing multitasker I've ever seen, and she's a good girl, you guys. So I know that you are Tello supporters as well as I am, but the most important thing you could do is keep your membership up and spread the word. Get others to do it. You won't be sorry. And there's nothing like being that rock star, like being that one to tell your friend about something that you know that they'll love. I mean, sometimes we just don't think to tell somebody. Like, we're at home, we're doing our thing, we know what we're doing, we're digging this, but we just forget to tell. But make it a point. Tell somebody, tell two people about Tello, and you've done me and Kristen a huge favor. So we're at Chick Music, and this is pretty cool because I am pretty proud of this find. That, you know, I'm not gonna take credit because it's not my doing, but I found them through After Ellen. This is an out singer named Ria May, RIAMAE, and you can go to her website, Ria May, RIAMAE.com, and find everything you want to know about her. But the most important thing you need to know is that she is a Halifax girl. She is a Canadian. Her first single has been on the radio station rotation up north for a couple of months now, and she is she's blowing up, man. It's fantastic. First of all, it's fantastic when they actually get to be on the radio. I can't imagine what that's like to be driving around hearing your own self on the radio. So she's already accomplished a huge feat. She's steaming up cars and parties everywhere in Canada, and she's just really getting started. She's newly signed to Sony Records. She was born in Halifax. Her name is Ria May, and she's in the midst of working on her debut album and planning her first U.S. tour. So check her out at riamay.com. This is her song, Under Your Skin, and you can check out some videos and some interesting articles and blurbs on her website. So check this out. Good stuff, you guys. Really good stuff. I think the album is called Close Off. It says here that it will have you unashamedly bouncing at your workspace, your home space, your life space for weeks. And from the upcoming album is produced by Classified, the track has a beat and a bass line that you won't be able to turn off. Oh, I think that's just that song. Sorry. Take Your Clothes Off. Yeah, Clothes Off is one of the songs that you need to hear this week, it says on the website. It's some of the stuff I can't see. It's banned from the UK audiences, so maybe you'll have better luck, but I'm in love with this girl's voice. Great, good stuff, man. Good stuff. I'm super thrilled. You know me, I get super excited when I actually find something I know everybody's going to like. I know you're going to love it. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff there. Good luck to you, little one. She's very cute, too. You guys are going to dig it. You guys are going to dig it. I don't steer you wrong. I try not to steer you wrong. I'll put it that way. So, where are we at now? Where are we at now? Got a little Taylor Swift for you. Jem was like, I hate her. Shake it off, girl. Shake it off. Okay. Let's see. I think the internet nugget might be something I mentioned before, but I think I know a little bit more about it now, so it might mean a little bit more. It is actually called www.mypride.me, and I don't think I realized this the first time I checked it out. It was a Twitter find. Found them on Twitter, and I checked it out a little bit more extensively. And mypride.me is a private social network and multimedia platform for LGBTQ youth ages 14 through 20 to create and share profiles with each other. My Pride Inc. was founded in 2012 by Elizabeth Willis, who's got a master's in education. It highlights news, videos, a lot of old videos, but inspiring videos, and that's the most important thing. And there's a lot of new ones too, but some of the older ones, Ellen's speech at one of the universities, Ellen Page's speech. There's a lot of good stuff on it, really inspiring messages from all over the world. It's a great site for LGBT youth, and you know I mentioned that I wanted to be a little bit more involved this year, so taking my steps. So definitely, if you know somebody, if you know younger, if you know some LGBT youth, this is a very cool website. And it's like anything that's created just for them, I think is fantastic. That's the most important thing, is that they have a place to call their own, and they don't have to worry about it being, you know, more than they can handle at this point. You know, 14 to 20, tough years. So that's pretty cool. And then I wanted to, you know, it's been so cold all over the place, like weather-wise. Facebook is all about the weather. And I know that you guys in the Northeast are just getting hammered, and I feel for you, man. I feel so bad. So I was looking for something warm. I was looking for a warm drink, and I found this thing called the Alps Coffee. And it is, first of all, you need a massive mug, because you take 8 ounces of brewed hot coffee and sugar and cream it to your own taste. And then you add 1.5 ounces of Frangelico and 1.5 ounces of cherry brandy, 2 tablespoons of whipped cream. I don't know, use the can, tip that thing up, top that mug off, and then a little sprinkle of nutmeg and a few dark chocolate shavings, and you've got yourself an amazing hot coffee drink right there. A little ass kicking too. You know what? While you're at it, throw in 1/2 ounce of vodka. You'll love it. It's fantastic. A couple of events that we need to mention, without a doubt, we need to mention these, because they're creeping up fast. You know, I told you before, these months fly by, especially like New Year's. From New Year's, it just starts flying, I remember saying, oh, at the end of February, you know, we got plenty of time. No. So listen carefully and plan your events accordingly. First one, Sunday, February 22nd, right here in the UK at Bar Titania. You got Blake's Soul Food Sunday at 4 p.m. It's free entry, and it's £7 if you want to pay for the outrageous home-cooked soul food available. And Katie and Naomi have talked about this before from Planet London. It's a fantastic night. And then open mic starts at 7 p.m., 7 to 9. That's a great Sunday night, like to, you know, you got to gear up for Monday. This sounds like a chilled, relaxed kind of Sunday afternoon that you'd want to spend and have a couple of laughs at open mic, and then be on your way into your work week on Monday. So that's the 22nd of February at Bar Titania. And then on Monday, the 23rd of February, Polari is back in London at 7:30, Level 5 Function Room at Royal Festival Hall at South Bank Center. A good lineup once again, Paul Burston, VG Lee. Don't miss out. It's good stuff. These authors bust their ass, and Paul always picks like great selections from their work for them to read. It's a good night. It's a really chilled out, a nice night it's on a Monday, which is unusual, but that's okay. It's good. Thursday, February 28th, Goddess and She in the States are playing in Houston. And this is Thursday, February 28th at Pearl Bar in Houston. It's $10 at the door, 21 and up. Their set time is 9 p.m. Don't miss it. They put on a fantastic show. They've got a huge fan base. Regardless of where you know them from, whether it was the L Word or just from their tours, or they had a little doc series on Tello as well. So you can see them playing live in Houston at Pearl Bar. $10 is nothing at the door. Set time is 9 p.m. And then over in Florida, the 5th annual Women in History Art Show at the Pride Center at Equality Park in Wilton Manors. That's 2040 Dixie Highway. This year's theme is Icon, and the display is going on from March 10th to the 27th. The gallery reception is Friday night, March 27th, from 6 to 10 p.m. They've got big stuff going on at this reception. They've got DJ Gemini will be spinning. They've got a dance company there doing a number. The dance company is called Impulsic. They're going to do a number. The Tum Tum food truck with Asian street food is going to be right there on the premises. Also inside the reception, there's beer and wine, and they got hors d'oeuvres. And it's open and free to the public, so it's an important thing, and this is the fifth annual, and I really hope that if you're in Florida, you show up and say hello to Angie, Angie Sowers from Angie Sowers Photography. She puts this thing together, and they're also the ones that created closettalk.com, so check those things out and mark it on your calendar to go to the reception on March 27th, but the display is going on from the 10th to the 27th, so drop in and see some phenomenal artists, just to name a few: Karen Reagan, Kelsey McQuaid, Wendy Willis, Judessa, Chris Strait, Sabrina Zarmadi, Jennifer Ramos, April Smith, just to name a few. There's a ton more, so definitely check that out. On Saturday, March 28th, right here in the UK, at the Dark Horse in Moseley, up in the Midlands, Eek will be launching their brand new album called Love, Loss, and Bowling. Tickets are £5 at the door. Beth Pryor is the opening act. The doors will open at 8. Beth starts promptly at 8:30, and Eek will take the stage right after. Come and see us. There's going to be so much fun. There's a huge surprise for me personally. It's going to be big surprises, big fun. Don't miss it if you're in the area. You know we love these girls hard. We love them hard. We love them long time. You definitely need to make the time. Book a room, stay overnight, do what you have to do to get up there. The Dark Horse in Moseley, Saturday, March 28th, the launch of Love, Loss, and Bowling by our favorite girl group, Eek. Also, on Saturday, March 28th, here in London, Pout is back at Labels. Labels Soho, so excited. So check that out, March 28th, 8 p.m. You know Elaine McKenzie puts on a fantastic show if you're in London. Check out Pout. It's a monthly lesbian mixer night, dance, drink. Have a good time. Say hello to Elaine at Labels. And that starts at 8 p.m. on. Okay, guys. I think that's a wrap. I didn't do a best of clip this week. We'll do them every other week so you don't get sick of them. And because it takes me so long to edit them. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed the last one with Weezer. That was such fun to listen to. Such good stuff. Seriously. So have a great week. I don't know if we're getting on a weekly schedule here or not, but you can catch me again Wednesdays on rainbowradio.fm, 3 p.m. Eastern. If not, be sure that you are subscribed to our My Lesbian Radio feed, because these shows, maybe they'll be weekly, I don't know, every 2 weeks, whatever. Whenever I can get to them, I'm here for you. Also, the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon is coming up. There's a new one coming out, I think, as soon as the end of the week, possibly beginning of next week. So make sure you're subscribed to Really Wow Productions. Go in your iTunes, search Really Wow Productions, and hit subscribe. We're available on Stitcher. We are available on Podbean, mylesbianradio.podbean.com. Stitcher is a fantastic listening app. If you don't have it, put it on your phone and check it out. It's really great to listen to all your favorite shows. Again, a huge shout out to Kirsty Moore for writing in. Thank you, Hazel, for keeping me busy while Gemma is at work. And I hope you guys have a fantastic week ahead. Talk to you soon. See you. Bye-bye.